Matthew 28, verse 18. Now we're continuing with the focus on the Godhead. And for a topic this morning, we shall call it that God may be all in all. Okay, Matthew 28 and verse 18. If you have a Bible and you know how to read, and if God has blessed you with a voice, let us read together. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege you've given us to be alive. And now, Lord, once again, we present ourselves before you. We pray that, Lord, you may break forth the bread of life before us as we gather, as we sit at your table. Lord, break forth the bread, for we desire to eat and feed from it, and that it can become a part of our lives. So I ask for your blessing upon every brother, sister, and every little child who is here. In Jesus' name we pray with thanks in our hearts. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now the words which the Lord Jesus spoke here, he did not speak them at the beginning of his ministry. He only spoke them after accomplishing the crucifixion on the cross and the resurrection. And he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Elsewhere we read that it's by the name of Jesus the whole family of heaven is named, right? This clearly signifies that when the Lord died and resurrected, there was a new status he had acquired, which he previously did not have. Amen. And if you remember well, this had been foretold in prophecy. For example, when we read Daniel 7 verse 26, Daniel had seen it in a vision and it was revealed to him that a time will come when the Christ and the saints will rule over the world. So Daniel 7 verse 26 we read, but the judgment shall sit and they shall take away his dominion. That is, the man of sin, this wicked world. Take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion. Dominion speaks of power. And the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven. That is to speak about the whole world, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Notice those last words, shall serve and what? Yes. Shall serve and obey him. Now, that's not the status of the world today. The status of the world today, it's about man's rule. Not just that, it is characterized by democracy. Democracy is, well, how do they define it? Rule by people. it's having a government by the people, for the people. You know what Abraham Lincoln once said, huh? And when you look at this era of time we're living in, we know in prophecy it is called Laodicea. And it means people's rights. Just look at what fuels modern philosophy, modern motivational theories. It's all about you can be whatever you desire to be. Let no one hinder you from fulfilling that which you crave for, that which you desire. You can be whatever you desire to be. And it is so sickening that even when little children are growing up, there is a new devilish philosophy now that says a child should be left to choose what gender they want to have, you know. If he is a boy but he behaves like a girl, change him into a girl. And you know these things are happening in the West, isn't it? You've heard about transgender, right? Of course, here, I mean, it sounds ridiculous. I mean, we don't have it here, but, well, it is happening in the West. When you are filling in an online form, it used to be that where there is gender, it's only male and female. Today, that's not the case. Today, there's male, gender, and other. How many have seen what I'm talking about? Yeah. That's the world we live in. And they say, well, if you don't feel like the body you have is not what you're supposed to have, maybe you're a woman, but you really feel like you are actually masculine, you're a man, then you undergo surgery and they change you into a man. And as though there are no pertinent issues the world has to deal with today, these things have become so serious, and they even tie them to aid now. Issues of homosexuality, transgender, and all that, they're really dominating the, you know, the conversation space. Well, it's a world of human rights. So they say, as long as what I'm doing is not harming you, leave me to do what I feel like. In some places in Europe, there are what you call nude cities or something like that, where you can walk about the way you were born in your nakedness, and they say, well, we are free to do what we feel like. The other day I was reading in the news where there is a restaurant where they say to enter that restaurant you don't need to dress anything, you just enter it completely, you know, naked. Now when we hear things like that here in Africa, I mean, it sounds so terrible, right? But hey, these things are happening. you can see how in the Western world, insulting has become part of language. You know that, huh? Right? If you want to watch a movie, it won't be long you hear the F word. Right? And it's just become normal in their conversation. I'll never forget when I reached Oslo Airport in Norway? This was my first time in Europe. And so I was in a queue. And there was a lady ahead of me. When you look at her, she looked very gentle. Looked polite, you know. Then she wanted to find out something from the person on the counter. And she wasn't getting the attention that she was supposed to be given. And she was very unhappy with the way the man was answering her. She felt like, you can't treat me like that. I'm a customer. She started getting angry. And oh my. Terrible, insulting words that you only hear in Africa, you watch on the Western movies. She started speaking terrible insults, you know, and I thought, oh my, here I am in Europe. And it's just common display, and you know, everyone just looks at her like, you know, it's a normal thing, it's one of those things. Well, you give it maybe 100 years more, or maybe 50 years, our society will just be like that. If not worse, if the Lord tarries. You know, there's so many things which have flooded our country. At one time, we didn't have a number of these things we see in our society. You know, in Kaunda's time, we were not so much into television. You remember? You know that? Television used to start 17 hours. Do you know what time it used to stop? That sounds strange to a modern kid today. Hey, TV never used to be on throughout the day. It used to have an opening session, 17 hours. There was a time for cartoons. A lot of you loved Fat Albert, Voltron, She-Ra, He-Man. Who belongs to my intake? I can remember that. Okay. And then midnight, a priest used to come to give a word of prayer to show that the day has ended. Yeah, that's how it used to be. At that time, you don't see a Zambian society the way it is today. But hey, satellite television came. A lot of Western movies were on our screens. And the more people watch television, you can actually see the change in human behavior in Zambia. Have you noticed something new in our culture? Those of you who are married, how did you propose your wife? It's not the same way young people do it today. You go to East Park Mall, Manda Hill, you see a young man bowing a knee like this. And the lady goes like, oh, I didn't expect it. And you look at that, he said, this is not Zambian. We were not taught to propose like that. But you know where I have seen that? I have seen it on television. Is that correct? Yeah. And with time, everything is becoming so westernized. In the way our young people dress, in the way our young people talk, everything is getting westernized. That's the world we live in. If you're not careful, you get caught up in the same mannerism. Is that true? The same has affected churches. the way worship is done? Do you know that Zambia never had prosperity gospel? Telling people that if you give money, God is going to bless you. Do you know we never had that? But TBN came through Danny Pule. Then we had the Ed Gangambis of this world. Nwaka, you know, Bishop Nwaka. These are big names in the Pentecostal movement, you know. Before you realize it, prosperity message characterized everything. Now, I was talking about the world. I'm not talking about the church. In the world, you can move along Cairo Road in town there. A woman will be poorly dressed. They say, it's my body. I haven't harmed you. I haven't done any harm to you. Leave me. A long time ago, if a lady was to dress the way they dress in town, in the open places today, elderly people, in the streets of town, they'll grab you and start teaching you right there. What is this you are dressing? There is a way a young girl knew of how to dress when she is moving out of a house. Many years ago, that inner garment a woman wears, what you call, is it a petticoat? It was not even supposed to show in the linings. Is that correct, sisters? Is that true? Well, today, a petticoat is really a very decent form of dressing because our young girls have exposed everything about themselves. And you try to tell any random lady to say, can you dress properly? Is this how you dress? Insults you've never heard before be howled at you. When it is summer, the way it is hot right now, that is when every direction you look at, women dress so terribly. And you know what they say? It's very hot. I've always wondered, is it only women who feel hot and not men? Because a man is always dressed up, isn't it? Is that true? No, it's not because it's a hot season. It's because there's a corrupt mind in that young girl. And whatever she does is to attract the attention of the male sex. That's it. That's what it is. But you know, it's human rights. Let each one dress the way they need to dress. But you know what is sad? The same thing has entered in the church. And you see what Christians are taught? Much of the preaching is centered on promotion of the self, your will, your passion. You can be what God meant you to be. Whatever you think about it, you know you are a God, you can bring it to reality. And of course, those statements are sugar-coated with scriptures. So emphasis is on how you can be whatever you desire to be. You can be a millionaire. You can be a winner. Hey, some names of churches are even based on that. You're a winner. So it's a chapel of winners. And you know what that has done? It has reduced the church to being a motivation conference center. In so much that a sinner, a person could have been committing adultery yesterday, but he will enter a church. You go out of there not crying about his sinful condition, but feeling encouraged that he can start a new business idea. But church never used to be like that. Church used to be a place, by the time the preaching is done, people will be in tears, repenting and giving their lives to God. Issues of motivation, financial literacy, there is a place where those things belong to. And that's not the mandate of the fivefold ministry. But well, what has happened? We have a new breed of Christians who know nothing about scriptures which say, take up your own cross. Remember what the Lord Jesus said? No one can follow me except they pick up their cross to follow me. Now, do you know that Christianity at one time was symbolized by the cross? The cross meant self-denial. The cross meant not my will, but your will, O Heavenly Father. The cross meant I die daily, like Paul said. The cross meant it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. The cross meant the Son can do nothing except that which he sees the Father doing. You preach that gospel in any charismatic church or Pentecostal church, by the time you are done, perhaps half of the church will be asleep, or they'll feel you are full of negative talking. When you tell the people, repent, the judgment of God is coming, they say, doomsday preacher. So mufla wa mchiwemba, ni chinyanja chenze futa pada. God bless you. All right? It sounds strange to the people. That is how fallen the so-called Christianity is from that which we were originally given. Now notice what the Lord Jesus said. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus declares that. How do you think he declared that, and for what purpose? Here is the Bushiri version. Have you ever seen how Bushiri walks from one end of the pulpit to the other, claiming he has power? They claim Major One, right? How many have watched Bushiri? That fellow from Malawi. How many have watched him? Oh. Fraudster. He's a fraud. But what is amazing is how he has managed to convince people that he is a man of God. Is he the one who the other day claimed he was floating in the air? He's the one? Yeah. Now, the interesting thing about floating, they were just showing the legs and it was on a staircase. And, you know. Oh, my. The other fellow, I don't know that it is also Bushiri, he was walking on water. A And these things have become so interesting to the ears of Pentecostals. You know, there is a vision of Pentecostalism, of the Benihins, Maurice Cerullo, Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne, which had some semblance of reverence. No, not that. Not ukuichefia. Some reverence, you know, some show of the fear of God. When you hear them sing a worship song, you can even sing along and enjoy their worship. But there's a new form of a complete perversion of Pentecostalism. The way they preach, the way they do their miracles, it's really more like Kolokoto. Do you know Kolokoto? How many used to have magicians called Kolokoto? There used to be Bim Salabim. You remember that? Yeah, when we were young and in primary school, they would tell us there's a magician coming. And if you call a person from the audience, you come. And they could do anything. From making you lay an egg to making certain things disappear in thin air. But hey, most of those things are tricks, magical tricks. But you know, they say don't come very close to where we are doing because there are spirits and powers here. But hey, we used to pay for money to go see those things. Maybe he gets a bottle, hey, this is water, you can see I'm drinking it, then he does some magic and, oh, it has turned into paraffin. Oh, you can all see it, you can light up a flame with it. Now, I remember one time, I think that was a chitukuko, you know, there's this kolokoto, that's what he was called. I don't know whether that's a tongue or it has a meaning, but he stood on a stage and he pointed towards the Zulu grocery. He says he wants to steal some sweets from there. He showed us one sweet, eh? Then he begins to do some, you know. Then later on, ooh, we see a lot of sweets. And he throws them in the audience, you know, who wants to have these sweets? Now, I believe much of those things were cheap tricks. But the same tricks have entered the Pentecostal churches. You see the kind of miracles you see? We used to have one fellow here in Zambia. He took water and converted it to paraffin. What was the name of that fellow? I think he died. Sorry? Huh? Nirongo. Yeah. I think he was Nirongo. Now, you can see the kind of pride they have, huh? When he's moving on the pulpit, hey, can you bring the things here? And he does some gymnastics, you know, power of God. And all people, especially women, oh, crying, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Magicians. And what is worse, not real magicians, tricksters. But do you remember how quickly their churches were filling up? And you find a lot of women like this. When you go to a church which is filled with so many women, that is problem number one. You go in a church, 70% is women. Do an investigation. There is prophecy in that church. Because many women often kuwaona, only wana zamine zichitika pa moyo wanga. So there will be very long queues, people wanting prophecy. And many are manipulated like that. That is true. When you present the real word to the people, you present teaching to them, they feel that is boring. And a person who doesn't love teaching, that's a very shaky, unstable person. Now, why do these preachers behave like this? They portray themselves like they have so much power, they can just speak a word and things happen. Where are they getting such twisted, warped ideas? They read Matthew 28, verse 18, where Jesus says, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. I give you power over sickness. I give you power over all these things. Listen to me, saints. This is not a carnal power. Do you actually realize that for Jesus to receive that power is because he had completely emptied himself and allowed God to lead and guide him as an obedient servant to the will of God? Jesus did not portray himself as a person who could do anything at his will. Do you know that when he went to heal the man at the pool of Bethsaida, you know that there were many sick people there? There were perhaps many with leprosy and all sorts of illnesses. But he only healed one person. Did you know that? Why? He said the son can do nothing but that which he sees the father doing. Even in the days of Elijah, there were many widows, but only one was the prophet sent to. And in one place it says, when the power of God was present to heal. What did we read in Philippians last Sunday? He emptied himself. And therefore God exalted him. So when Jesus says, all power in heaven and on earth, that's not just something he speaks to show himself as a great figure. That was a real thing which happened. And why was all power given? Because he had overcome. What did he overcome? He overcame his own personal free will. The greatest temptation you have in your life, it's not that thing which always you think bothers you. The greatest temptation you have is not that bad habit you have, or that sin, or whatever troubles you. The greatest temptation is to use our own choices and our own will when the will of God is staring us in the face. Remember when the prophet was told, you will be tested in a short while. What was the test? Yeah, one young man and woman were doing stupid things in the service. And the voice of God said to Brother Branham, they are in your hands, you can speak and anything will happen. Do you know God was testing him of what he would do with choice? Brother Branham thought, oh, I can do anything, they are in my hands. You can speak death, it can happen on them. He says, they are in your hands. What did Brother Branham say? Young man, young lady, I forgive you. The thing is, here is a man who's been given so much power, but he did not abuse it with choice. He always felt the will of the Lord is what is best. And a person who overcomes his own will to let the will of God flow through their lives, that's a person who is victorious. There are many times you will be offended at your workplace, you will be offended in your family. Yes, someone will speak something so terrible which you don't deserve.
and anger will start brewing up in you to try to give a statement that puts the other person in their proper place. Do you know why we respond to an argument? Do you know why we want to respond when someone is abusing us? Many times it is to defend the integrity of our ego. And at the back of the mind, your worry and your concern is, how can he say such a thing? At the back of your mind, you are worried about what will people perceive me by what this person is doing about me. Hey, you're not the only one. The Lord Jesus was the worst abused person. He healed the people in public. And listen to me. If you can, if you have a Netflix subscription, I would want you to watch The Chosen. It's a new movie they've released. Well, I haven't watched all their series, but so far, it is something I would recommend. Please watch it. I was excited as I was watching the way they portrayed Jesus and certain events. For the first time, when I watched Jesus dealing with Peter, when Peter caught the mighty catch of fish, the way they portrayed it, it was very much in tandem with a sermon I preached about, you know, Jesus telling Peter to catch fish. You know, they're taking a little verse like that and they make it into a whole episode, and so wonderfully portrayed, you know. And the thing of it is, I love the way they portrayed Nicodemus. How he was a respectable figure. Very powerful theologian. People looked up to him as the leading scholar in Jerusalem, in Israel. But he had questions. And there were aspects of sincerity to the way he carried himself. And in that movie, you can see the great battle human beings have to take the will of God or to take your own will. Yes, back when I was young, I used to wonder, why did Adam sin, making us to go through the problems we're going through? Ni chana Adam na Eva wanachimwaso. Have you ever had thoughts like that? If Adam and Eve did not sin, we wouldn't have been going through problems like this. It is in the human character to always throw blame on another thing. But do you realize that the Garden of Eden experience is always before us every day, every moment, every minute? We relive the Eden experience. The way Adam and Eve were tested, we are every day tested. It's a very personal experience. What did you do today? Did you walk and follow the will of God? Oh, it's all about you. Jesus overcame by stepping out of the way so that the Holy Spirit could fill him and manifest the will of God. And you know the great lie of Satan? The great lie of Satan is always to make us think our choices will give us more pleasure. Since it's the opposite way around. When you walk in the will of God, later on, you rejoice and you are thankful that you walked in the will of God. Many times what the devil presents as something to gratify us or to make us more happy, later on it leads to bitterness and trouble. Lean not to your own understanding, but in everything trust in the Lord. Amen. Because he knows us better than ourselves. Let us go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. So So in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, all power is given to me. But Jesus is not yet ruling over the nations, because there is work to be done. He said, all power is given to me, but for now, go ye out into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. God wants more sons of God who can rule in that kingdom when Jesus finally takes over the kingdoms of the world. So from this time when Jesus got all the power, a time will come when he comes to start using that power to rule over the nations. Whom will he rule with? Sons and daughters of God who grew up into the stature of a perfect man. Now, let us go to the book of Ephesians 4 verse 11. When Jesus said, all power is given unto me, as he ascended to heaven, he left us with a mission. Work which needs to be done before he can come to start physically ruling over the world. Ephesians 4 verse 11, shall we all read together? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And my question is, what work are these ministries supposed to do? The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. What commission did Jesus give? Is it for them to debate? Is it for them to fight? Is it for one to claim how he is more superior than the others? Is it for us to teach people how they can become rich and wealthy? Hear me. Whenever you start your job in a new company, the first and most important thing you need to understand is your job description. What is your job description? Because at the end of the day, when you are done, when your contract is fulfilled, you will be assessed based on not what you enjoy doing, not what you were speaking about yourself, but your performance will be assessed against the goals and the objectives which were stipulated about your work. So they'll go back to the document. According to the job description, you are supposed to do A, B, C, D. Have you done A, B, C, D? So the gap between the targets you were given and what you've actually done, this gap is what your judgment is. So when the Bible says Jesus made some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, all those who've been called into that ministry, the question to ask ourselves is, what is our job? What is our mandate? What is our commission? Let's hear what the Lord said. For what purpose was this given? Verse 12, shall we read? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, these are operational activities, things which need to be done every day, things which need to be done in our everyday operational work. But we haven't yet been told the ultimate goal which needs to be achieved. It's very important to understand the difference. to understand the difference between the work you are doing, operational work, and the target and the goal. Because it is possible for someone to be doing work, but he has no idea of the ultimate goal which needs to be achieved. So, if you don't know the goal you are supposed to achieve, you won't be running at the right pace you are supposed to be running. You won't have a sense of whether you are achieving the results you are supposed to be achieving in a given space of time. Because two people can both be working. One is more efficient, faster, quickly achieving the results. Another one can be very slothful, slow, and indifferent. Both seem to be doing the work. But always, the person who understands the goal of their task, they do it better. When you don't know the goal of your work, you'll be spending most of your energy on things which are not essential. And I can tell you, if we are not careful, you can build your entire ministry on things which are not profitable. One can become a specialist in trying to say how wrong that one is, how wrong that one is. And when you look at the spiritual condition of the church, there is nothing in people that makes them drawn to become more like Jesus Christ. So let's hear our goal. What is the goal of the ministry? What should the ministry ultimately achieve? Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. In other words, the fivefold ministry has to continue working until we all come in the unity of the faith. And can I hear you read it? Till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We need to come to a place where we come to the same measure, the way Jesus Christ was, completely filled with the will of God. Jesus is the head. We need to come to a place where we are able, the whole body is able to move where the head is telling it to move. Completely filled with the Spirit. Now, notice. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Well, some people think, well, our mission is to teach people the knowledge of the Son of God. And what is that knowledge? Well, people have made it to be just intellectual stuff. Words and statements, and you can argue around that. That's not it. That's not what the knowledge of the Son of God is. When you check up the word in the Greek, where there's knowledge there, the word which is there is epignosis. And you know what it means? It means the divine knowledge of God. It means having full discernment. It means precise and correct. That is what the fivefold ministry is supposed to do. To bring people to the knowledge of the Son of God. What is this knowledge? It's not something that comes to your intellect. It is an experience you have by the revelation of God's word, and that experience transforms you. You know, when the Bible says Adam knew his wife, Eve. Knew. What does that mean? You know, there are certain things a man and a woman don't know each other, but when they come into that intimate union, that's when you can say the man knew. Now, you know what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7:21? Many will say to me in that day, we did miracles in your name, we did this and that in your name. Then I will profess to them, I never knew you. For Christ not to know you, it means you didn't have his knowledge. And to know God is eternal life. So what kind of knowledge is this? Is it just feeding our mind with stuff? Colossians 3:10. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man. Everyone say new man. Do you know that carnal knowledge cannot make you a new man? No matter how many precious things that knowledge is trying to teach you about why you need to be a new man. You know, there are many doctors who smoke. Is that true? Huh? There are many doctors who drink beer. And when someone with lung problems come to be diagnosed, the doctor will be there with his stethoscope. Even check how the heart is pumping. And you say, do you drink? Says, yes. It's not good for your health. Do you smoke? Yes. No. You should stop. After his work, you get a puff of cigarette. I have seen that. I have seen doctors who smoke. I've seen doctors who drink. And that doctor can give you a perfect teaching about how you need to keep yourself healthy by avoiding beer, by avoiding smoking. But has any of that knowledge changed him? No, it hasn't changed him. Right? Yes. So how do you become a new man? And put on the new man, which is? Can I hear you? Which is what? Which is renewed in knowledge. What knowledge? After the image of him that created him. Since the knowledge we are talking about is a knowledge that can transform you into the image of Christ. Do you know when two people are married, they get transformed into one image? The two shall become one flesh. So what is the knowledge we have of Christ? It is the revelation of who he is. And the more we look into his face, the more there is a transformation in our lives. Here is a good example. Paul. Paul was a powerful theologian. He could quote Moses word for word. He was a Pharisee. Himself boasted to say, I was a Pharisee, a Jew. That was Paul. He studied about God. He studied about the law of Moses. And out of his zeal, when he heard there were these people, the Christians, he felt they are misleading people. It's a bad cult. He was so zealous for God that he was ready to kill for God. But in all that, Paul did not have a single knowledge about God. With whatever he learned under Gamaliel, it really filled his mind with something. But it's not something that produced a new man in him. But one moment, the great light from glory, that great pillar of fire, met him on the way to Damascus. You know the question he asked? Who are you, Lord? He had tried to serve God by human means, but he didn't have the knowledge of God. When that light flashed on him, his ignorance was revealed. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Is it not strange that you spend all the years of your life speaking against something, only it turns around that you were actually fighting the God you thought you were serving? How much more are man-made systems today fighting the God they think they are serving? There was a time here in Zambia, they were trying to push a law because of many scandals which were happening in churches. You know, a lot of financial crimes, a lot of sinful, abhorrent things. So people started saying, I think for one to be a pastor, let them be having a degree in theology, or at least diploma in theology. That time we used to have the Ministry of Religion. Do you remember that? The most useless ministry Zambia has ever had. Just used to waste our tax money. You know, how do you form an entire ministry for religious issues? And you know what that ministry was trying to push people, what they were speaking? Every preacher to have a qualification. University degree, college diploma, for you to start preaching. So they were saying all these scandals in the churches because there are many preachers who've never been to school. Wow. I had to write an article on that on the website. I said, okay, you think education can make these preachers behave well? I said, let us pick the most educated preachers in the world. Do you know who are the most educated preachers? You know what church it is? What's the church? Catholic. Hey, don't look at the Pope and you think he is some ignoramus. Usually those guys are professors. Very, very educated. You've heard of the Jesuits? Oh, those are very powerful researchers. You look at the history of Zambian education. We used to have Professor Michael Kelly. I was taught by him at the University of Zambia. Those who've done education, you know Michael Kelly, right? I believe he was a Jesuit. Jesuit is the intellectual arm of the Catholic system. Very powerful researchers. Those are, Catholic system has the most educated people. When you see a priest there, he's leading mass and all that, they go through a lot of education and training. They've done philosophy. They've done all sorts of things. You talk about atheism, they know the whole syllabus. Tell me the most immoral church institution. You go on BBC. Of the children molestation scandals, which even the Pope has had a hard time because of scandals that priests are involved in. You read my article on the website. I quoted different sections of very embarrassing headlines which came up of what came out of the Catholic system. Homosexuality. Oh, you come on Sunday, you are a priest, right? It's a very big problem in the Catholic system. In Europe, in America. There is no church which has made such terrible headlines like the biggest church in Christendom. Now, can I ask you, is it because the priests don't have education? Is that the reason? No. A human being is sinful. You can take him to school, give him a uniform, make him look like Jesus. That doesn't make him Jesus. Until he is born again. Catholic has its fair share of these problems. Pentecostals have their fair share. What's the problem? It's because many people on the pulpits were never called by God. It's a college system which called them. Read this whole Bible. Tell me how each prophet was called. Now, when the Minister of Religious Affairs, that time, they started talking about preachers getting educated and all that, I said, before we look at preachers, let us first summon the founder of Christianity. Let's make him stand in the dock. Let's call Jesus. You be the judges. Sit there and judge him. At the time when the Lord Jesus came, were there schools of theology? Yes. Did you know that? Yeah, read the book of Luke. It says the doctors of the law. Hey, they were PhD holders in that time. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they had doctorates. You remember when John the Baptist, he was baptizing? Telling people the kingdom of God is at hand. When they went to him, what did they ask him? Who gave you authority to start preaching? In other words, there were established institutions. There were established organizations which needed to certify you, give you the authority that you can preach. So it says, who gave you the authority to do this? Actually, sorry, they were asking Jesus, right? Who gave you the authority? And Jesus, in answering, says, I'll ask you a question. You answer me, I'll answer you. Where did John the Baptist get his authority? Which Bible college gave him the degree? Which priests told him, we've allowed you to be preaching? Who gave him that authority? You answer that question, then I'll answer you where I get my authority. Hey, because John had an influence in Israel. But who is this John? He just came from the bush. So now they're asking Jesus, who gave you authority? Which Pharisee or did the Sanhedrin give you the license? And he says, I'll ask you a question. Who gave John the authority? So they go among themselves. You know, they were researchers. Huh? They were so used with the thesis and what to answer. They say, if we tell him it came from man, hey, the people will be against us because, you know, everyone knows that John was called of God. And if we tell him it came from God, he will say, why didn't you believe him? So then they see one of the answers. So then they go to Jesus. We don't know. Jesus also says, I also want to tell you my answer. You see that? And one day Jesus was teaching. What did they say? They said, how come he knows the letters very well, but he has never studied? He has never gone to school. How many have read that scripture? How come he knows letters very well, but he's never been to school? So we have Jesus in the courtroom. Lord Jesus, which school did you go to? What will he tell us? You say, haven't you read in the scriptures that people wondered to say he has never studied letters, but how come he knows the scriptures very well? Hear me, saints. When Jesus taught the disciples, go ye out into all the world, preach the gospel, it was nowhere in the mind of Jesus to create an organization. An organization which will have a training system and churning out graduates. Christianity is not an organization, it's a way of life. Christianity has no headquarters, its headquarters is in heaven. But oh, you say, there are many Bible colleges around. Yes, they're man-made. A Seventh-day Adventist Bible college was designed to produce Adventists. A Pentecostal Bible college produces Pentecostals. A Catholic Bible school produces Catholics. That is why you can never see an Adventist Bible college producing a Catholic. Why? These are man-made systems. They produce after their own kind. But a true minister of God is produced by the Holy Spirit calling. How was Abraham called? Abraham, arise, leave your family. I call you to go to the land where I will show you. That's how Abraham was called. Moses, he was busy rearing the flock as a shepherd. Then he sees a burning bush. Now, you know, when you go in Israel, there's a plant. It's called, is it burning bush plant? I don't know how many have seen that plant. It's mainly found in that region of the world. You know, this plant releases a gas. And it's a flammable gas. If you take a matchstick and you go near it, when you try to light it up, there will be actually a flame. There will be a glow of a flame. And when it is very hot, they can produce fire. This, it's a flower. You know, it's a plant. You know, some people said, oh, that's what Moses saw. Now, look here. Moses was in this place for quite a long period of time. And he knew about these plants which produce a flame. But do you know what attracted him to that fire? The Bible says it was burning without stopping. Because these plants, the ones I'm talking about, when they produce a flame, it just goes, then it goes off again. Was it that plant? Maybe. But what was the miraculous part of it? What caught the attention of Moses? He noticed, as he looked at it, How long? Was it just in one day? Was it 2 days? Was it 3 days? Whatever he was doing when he was in that bush, the Bible says he noticed the fire was not going out, and that is what surprised him, that it was not going out. Right? So he said, let me go and see. Well, what is this kind of... That is when he heard the voice of God. Amen. God will use something as an attraction. Probably, I mean, for the Bible to say, Moses noticed that it wasn't burning out, meaning he saw it for some time, right? Are you getting it? How long was it? It was so long that he was able to observe that it wasn't going out. And so I thought, this is strange. As he tried to go near, so I don't believe when he was going near, he realized what is going on, right? When the voice spoke, he realizes the presence of God is here. And obviously, there's something he is feeling about what is going on here. God put an attraction to call his attention. And it was the fire of the Lord. Amen. Moses, the ground where you're standing is holy ground. Do you know the life of Moses was changed from that day? It wasn't a Bible college. In a moment, Moses had an experience with God. A person who has a moment's experience with God knows more about God than one who's been 7 years, he has PhDs, he has all sorts of things trying to learn and read about God. Yeah? Jeremiah, God said, I knew you right from your mother's womb. And I've called you as a prophet. That's the calling of God. It comes from above. Paul, one moment. Who are you, Lord? When you are in the presence, the true presence of God, the more you feel ignorant. When you come out of the presence of God and you feel so proud and you feel you know so much, just know you are not coming from the presence of God. The presence of God breaks our hearts. The presence of God destroys our pride, right? The presence of God reveals God. And any man who has had a true revelation of God realizes he is nothing but a piece of clay. That is why when I see a man moving from one end of the pulpit with a spring in his walk and he says, there are angels all around here, speaking irreverently, that just tells me you are moving up and down in a frenzy of emotion. The presence of God is not there, because you can't walk like that if the true presence of God has been revealed to you. Daniel fainted. As the angel was speaking to him, he was just there. Says, how can I speak? Your presence takes life out of me. And the angel touched him, spoke to him, and Daniel gained strength. And the Bible says, after the multitudes of visions he saw, he says, I became sick. Why? When you truly enter that supernatural dimension, you know, it does something to your body. Because our bodies are full of corruption, right? They can't stand the presence of God. Brother Branham says, just one vision was making me weak. Some of you, you've seen videos. You've seen that video where at the end of it, oh, Brother Branham is so weak. Billy Paul and all these brothers are holding him up. You've seen that? He says, when I see one vision, it drains all my energy. Many times you see him standing, just for him to turn and look this side, he's really struggling. You know, he moves like that. By the time he is done with the service, many times they used to carry him unconscious. Did you know that? When Brother Branham is done after discernment, they would literally carry him, take him to the vehicle, and he would be unconscious. Completely exhausted. Saints, that's a true prophet. He is under the pillar of fire. Many of these, you see that they are also claiming under the pillar of fire. It's not a pillar of fire from heaven. It's a pillar of fire from charcoal. Charcoal of darkness. The presence of God is not there. It produces a strange smoke, just making people's eyes irritated and the people can't see. When God has visited you, you will know what's a true thing and you know what's a fake thing. You know what? I desire to see miracles. I desire to see manifestations. But I will never encourage you to start pursuing things after the flesh. Wait on the Lord humbly. Praise God. Don't try to make up stuff. Because everything has a time and a season. Is that correct? Yeah. You need to understand what's the season. What is the Lord dealing with us? If God brings a manifestation here, we praise and thank him for that. Like some of you, you've experienced certain things like dreams, visions, and things were fulfilled like that. And we can't claim these are things we see every day. But woe to the people out of curiosity and excitement, they make up, they manufacture gifts. You don't do that. Wait for the real thing. And when the real thing manifests, it will shake everything inside you. It brings fear and reverence. Right? It's like the word prophecy is misunderstood. People think prophecy is just encouraging people, you know, the Lord is speaking to me, he shall bless you. And when God has revealed something, it will bring reverence and fear in our hearts. I've told you a testimony of a brother who came. He says, pray for me, I'm losing my mind. We prayed, nothing happened. He came again, and the things came again. I was taken to the mental institution. And I was wondering, brother, how did this thing start? You were okay. Oh, I don't know, just pray for me. And that's the problem with human beings. They don't tell the truth. I remember one evening, we were about seven of us. We're in the house of the late Sister Mary. So the brother came. And you know, this was after a long time. He had stopped showing up in the fellowship. And then the time he came now, he had this mental problem. It used to come as an episode. The family took him to Chinama, brought him back. And I couldn't believe it. I said, brother, really? What happened? I mean, you were okay. I remember this time it was around 18, 19 hours. I told the brother, we have prayed. Nothing is happening. Let's pray one last prayer. I told him, stand in the midst. And with the brothers, we formed a circle. We held our hands. We said, Lord, we've prayed. Why are you not answering our prayer? What's the problem? Why is the brother getting confused? I'll never forget. I said, Lord, reveal it to us. May you tell any one of us, Lord, how this problem came. Because as long as you don't open our eyes, as long as you don't open our eyes, we do not know where this problem is coming from. It was a 2-3 minutes prayer and we said, Amen. We said, brother, we'll wait on the Lord. Because he promises in his word, if you have a problem, we seek him, God has to deliver you, right? Is that correct? And you know what Brother Branham says? He says, you can pray the whole night, but if that demon is sitting on something, you can scream Jesus, you can say whatever you want, it knows what it is holding to. Hey, that very night, God gave a revelation. It came through a sister. She said, Pastor, I had a strange, scary dream. I said, what was the dream? He said, I saw people coming. And they said, why are you trying to help him? He took our things. She says, then I looked. I saw radios. Now na virimba, microphones, different stuff. Then that's how the dream ended. Very short dream. It came the very night we prayed. We went to see the brother. We said, we didn't find him. We found the family. We said, where is the brother? And the family were like, no, he's not around. How is he? Oh, you know, there's a problem. We said, there was a dream given. We need to see him. They looked at each other. They said, Sichiloto eto ni prophecy. It's like they knew something, you know. We said, okay, when he comes, tell him to come home. The following day, he came. Then I was staying at my mother's place, you know. So the brother came. Brother Mansa was in that meeting. The brother was seated on that sofa. I said, brother, don't misunderstand us. It's just a dream one of us had. You can confirm whether the dream is true or whether it is not. I narrated the dream to him. Are there any things you stole? Oh, you should have seen his face. These chicks started shaking on their own. He started shivering. You know what he said? I said, hey, so you mean these things happened? So the brother had actually stolen things, and the owners of the things went to a witch doctor. And madness came on him. No matter how we prayed, nothing was happening because the devils knew what they were holding to. The devil's license in your life is your sin. Chitupacha satana kutapitilize unkara mnyumba kwa mtima wanu ni uchimo. Amen. So I told him, brother, I don't know what you are supposed to do. We have told you what message came. Oh, he cried. He went to his home. Some of you who've been here for many years, you remember when he came. He came in the church one day to give his testimony. He cried to God. He prayed. He fasted. He says, Lord, forgive me. To cut the long story short, that's the last time the problem visited him. That's how it ended. A broken and a contrite heart, God will never despise. Pretense, hypocrisy, God despises those things. When we come in his presence with pretense, it is very smelly. like, what do you call that toilet thing outside? Like a sock away. When we come with pretense, with lies, you are as smelly before the presence of God like a sock away. When you come before God, no, you are not coming before a human being. You are coming to stand before His presence. Praise the Lord. When Jesus is revealed to us, we get to know Him intimately, to know who He is. Ephesians 1 verse 17. I need to be closing. Ephesians 1 verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In the knowledge of Him. It takes revelation. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Remember the two disciples on the way to Emmaus? Jesus came among them. They had been with Jesus 3 years. But after He was resurrected, they couldn't recognize Him. God took it away from their eyes. You can only have knowledge of who He is when God opens your eyes. And when they reached the place, as He broke bread, then their eyes were opened. Ephesians 4 verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We are supposed to grow into the way the Lord Jesus Christ is. And verse 27. Shall we all read verse 27? Neither give place to the devil. So you see, we have to grow into the fullness of how Christ was. Where every portion of our heart can be filled with the will of the Lord. Giving no place in our hearts, in our decision making, we should give no place to the devil. How do we give place to the devil? By hearing things, making decisions which are not in the will of God. May I close with this? Do you know that the perfect will of God, it is not for one man to teach another man how they are supposed to live, things they are not supposed to do. The desire of God is for all of us to be so filled with the Spirit of God that no man needs to teach you what not to do, what you're supposed to do. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. All this we see, the ministry, fivefold ministry. It was added because of our fall. That is why one man needs to teach the others. But that's not really the perfect will of God. God is looking for a time when we shall all grow into the fullness of the knowledge. Jeremiah 31. And verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now listen to verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sins no more. This is the desire of God. For everyone to be filled with the knowledge of God. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know, when you look at the sea or an ocean, do you think there's any dry ground beneath? There is no portion you can say there's a dry piece of ground. Everything is touched by the waters. One day this will be a reality, that the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of who God is. Epignosis. Correct knowledge. Knowledge which is divine. And this is the mission of Jesus. That is why he received all power in heaven and on earth. That is why he is coming to rule over the world. For what purpose? To let every mind get transformed. For every man to learn how to walk in the will of God. And anything which will stand in the will of God will be eliminated. Even towards the end of the 1,000 years, there will be a final temptation given. For what purpose? Anything which lives just by its will and cannot desire will have to be wiped out. There has to be a complete feeling of the knowledge of God in everything. And that is a definition of perfection. Perfection is the alignment of every choice, will, revolving around the will of God, aligned to the will of God. That can happen on an individual level, but ultimately it has to happen in the whole world at the time Christ is ruling the world. And that is why in future eternity there will be no potential for rebellion, the way it happened by Lucifer, the way it happened by mankind. Future eternity will be righteous forever, because anything which could potentially allow its own way of doing things would have been eliminated. Jesus, his mission, him he overcame. He was able to say, not my will but your will. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. The Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father doing. Now, when all things are accomplished, that is when Jesus will give the whole kingdom to the Father. Why? Everything, he would have managed to put everything under his subjection, Jesus Christ. And when everything is done, he also submits to the Father. So that God may be all in all. Let us read 1 Corinthians 15 verse 24. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. All that God is shall fill all things, so that everything will be a manifestation of his will. And at that point, there's no reason for one man to teach another, because everything becomes a beautiful expression of perfection. Man's will and God's will merges completely, so that when man speaks, he speaks the will of God. If you're saying you're going in the rapture, you need to know that is what the rapture requires. To reach a point where it's no longer you that is living, but Christ living in you. One day the Holy Spirit spoke to Brother Branham, pick up a pen and write. And this is what the voice said to him as he was writing. The first son, Adam, was the spoken seed word of God. He was given a bride to reproduce himself. That is why the bride was given to him to reproduce himself, to produce another son of God. Are you seeing what the Spirit of God was speaking through the prophet? What he was writing? Adam was given Eve. You know, there are those people who say, the plan of God was for Adam to speak to the ground and another son or daughter to come up. If really that was in the original plan of God, there was no need for Eve. But God gave Eve to Adam to reproduce the image of God in Adam. And you know what that involves? That is why the bride was given to him to reproduce himself, to produce another son of God. So God didn't just want one son of God. He wanted many sons of God. Now, the second son, Jesus, also a spoken seed word of God, was given a bride, as was Adam. But before he could marry her, she also had fallen. She, like Adam's wife, was put to the test whether she would believe the word of God and live, or doubt the word and die. Now, may I say something here? What was the theme of Brother Branham's ministry song? What was the theme song? Hello? Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. And you wonder, why did this man love this song? Because all scriptures, all our life, wind up to two things. Either we believe or we don't believe. What is to believe? To believe is not to accept your will, but to say, I believe what his word says. There are the two things which control your heart and your mind. Two things, faith or unbelief. Every time you sin, you disbelieve God's word, right? Every time you do walk in the will of God, that is faith. Now, listen to this. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. John 5 verse 19. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. This harmony, we are supposed to experience it too. Yeah. He shows her his word of life. She receives it. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride as it was in Mary. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. That means you know the will of God, right? Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass like a seed that is planted and watered. It comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. Now listen, those in the bride
I love this. Those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. He did not complete all his work while in his earthly ministry. So now he works in and through the bride. She knows that, for it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do, but he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. Saints, that will take a total surrender to the will of God. When I look at the body of Christ today, we are not yet there. We are full of our own way of doing things. But if we claim we are waiting for the rapture and the coming of the Lord, we need to die to our flesh. We come to a point where we learn what his voice is and become willing to walk in his will and his purpose. Shall we stand?